Let's discuss today the solar eclipse. Let me tell you everything that I know about the solar eclipse, which isn't very much. As you all know, today is a unique day where it's Erev Rosh Chodesh, which means it's the Zman of the Moilid. An eclipse can only happen on either Rosh Chodesh or Erev Rosh Chodesh. Okay? It's a Jewish event. Because what exactly is a solar eclipse? It's when the sun, the moon, and the earth are perfectly aligned. And that's a very vague statement, because when the sun, the moon, and the earth are perfectly aligned, there can be either a solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse. What's the difference between a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse? Who's in the middle? Who is the emsa? Who is the center of attention? So when the earth is in the middle, and the sun is on one side, and the moon is on the other side, that's during the 15th day of the month. That's not on Rosh Chodesh. That's when it's the 15th day of the month. Then the earth is in the middle. That's a lunar eclipse. The earth is blocking. The earth is blocking the rays of the sun. The sun. When do we have a full moon? The full moon is the sun reflects the rays of the sun. The sun is shining, and at night we can see a full moon because the moon is on the opposite side of the earth. So the sun is here, the earth is there, we're in the middle. We're not in mamash in the middle, we're somewhere in the middle. And we can see a full moon because the sun is shining on the moon.
The earth is not blocking at all.
It's not blocking at all. But when the earth gets stuck in the middle, somehow, because we know that the rotations is way beyond our topic of conversation, but when different levels of axis, different degrees, but when the earth is right smack in the middle, so it blocks the ability for the sun to shine on the moon, that's a lunar eclipse. Chazal said that's a bad omen. Even though it's predictable, it's a mathematical reality, yet Chazal, whatever this means, it's a bad omen when there is a lunar eclipse, because Klal Yisrael is compared to the Levana. The Levana is something which reflects the light of the sun, and when the Levana's light has been dimmed because the earth is in the way, the earth is stuck in the middle and it's getting in the way, it's not allowing the sun to shine on the moon, that's not a good sign. What?
You have a new moon every month.
What do you mean new moon every month? What?
Before the Milad, you don't see the moon.
It's not being blocked. It's not. That's because the moon is in front of us. The moon is in front of us. That's why you can't see the moon. Not because the moon, when the moon is in front of us, every Rosh Chodesh moon is in front of us. So you can't see the moon. Why can you see the moon? Because the sun is blocking it. The sun is blocking it. So there's nothing you can't possibly see. And at night you can't see because there's nothing to see. The sun is shining on the moon. But we're facing the dark side of the moon. The truth is, on today, on Rosh Chodesh, you can see the moon. The moon is right in front of you. So why don't I see it? It's black. It's really there. The reason why you don't see it is because there's nothing giving it light. The moon, in fact, is lit up, but on the other side. We are facing the dark side of the moon when it's Rosh Chodesh. In the 15th day of the month, the moon has swung all the way around the earth, so the sun is shining on the moon, and we're over here, we see the whole moon. But sometimes, we get stuck in the middle. Our angle is not below, it's not above. We're normally either a little bit below, nor a little bit above. So when we're right smack in the middle, and the sun is shining on the moon, on us, the sun is shining on the earth, and the earth now is blocking the moon, we can't see the moon. The moon is dark. So that's called a lunar eclipse. But a solar eclipse happens the other way around when it's Erev Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Chodesh, the time of the Moilid, when there's a new moon and the moon happens to be exactly in between the earth and the sun, where the moon blocks us from seeing the sun. So today, across America, it's traveling at a speed of 3,000 miles an hour. Do you realize that? The whole sequence, it changes because the whole sequence travels approximately 3,000 miles an hour. You can see it in the 70-mile area, 70 miles right smack across America, and everyone is lined up. The whole country has gotten into these 70 miles to observe it. And you can see, I think the most, it's called the moment of time where it's totally dark is 160 seconds. 160 seconds. As it travels 3,000 miles an hour, you can hop around for 160 seconds. That's the most. Most places you don't even have that. You only have like 100, 150 seconds, 140, 100, whatever it is. It's not but that's the max for this particular solar eclipse, 160 seconds along a 70-mile wide area across the entire America, traveling at 3,000 miles an hour. It basically means at that moment in time, if you find yourself in the right place in America or wherever you are, the sun, the moon, and the earth are perfectly aligned. And when you try to look at the sun from your perspective on earth, the moon is in the way. The moon is in the way. The moon is black. I'm trying to look at the sun, and the moon is smack right in the middle between me and the sun. So the moon blocks out the light of the sun. Now you ask, how can that possibly be? The moon is exact 400 times smaller than the sun. This is a mathematical fact. The moon, the sun is 400 times the size of the moon. So there's only one way that can happen. And this is something which is irrefutable proof that Hashem created the world. There's no way this can be a coincidence. That's only because the distance between us and the distance between the moon and the sun is 400 times. In other words, how many miles is there between us and the moon?
230,000.
Multiply that by 400.
Maybe it should be 93 million.
93 million. That's the difference for us to go to the sun. So it's an amazing thing. The only way you can have a small, you have a sun object that's very small, something's very, very large. The only way something very small can block it what's very large is you have to know what the ratio, it's a mathematical fact, the ratio between the small and the large, and the distance then has to be that exact ratio. This is physics. If you have two objects, one is small, one is large, define the ratio. What is the ratio between what is small and what is large? After you define that ratio, the distance between the two establish the same ratio in distance. Okay, there is in size and in distance. And then, from your perspective, you're not going to be able to see the larger item. Because if this is small and that is large, when you distance something from yourself, it gets smaller and smaller. Right, the further away you go from something, the smaller it looks. V'hayinu ve'enav kachagovim. We were like cockroaches. Why? Because they're very, very tall. They're very, very tall. They're looking down. So to them, we look like something very, very small. When you take something and you go further, further away, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. If you have two objects, and one is 400 times the size of the other object, in order to make them equal in size, from our perspective, what do you got to do? You just got to push it away 400 times away. So then, they both are exactly the same size. Because a distance of 400 times away reduces it in size from our perspective. They're now exactly the same. If they're exactly the same, and they're in line with one another, I can't see the other object. Oh, but the other object is 400 times the size. It's 400 times the size, but I made it virtually smaller by distancing it 400 times away. Who can do that? Hashem created the sun, Hashem created the moon, and Hashem put the sun and the moon in the sky where the ratio between the sun and the moon is 400 times, and the distance is also exactly 400 times? Who could do such a thing like that? There's only one thing you can say. There's a creator. This is something that they say that in scientists. This is called. I read this. This is called the. What is it called? It's called the grand coincidence. This is a term. The grand coincidence that such a thing can happen, that there can be a sun and the moon, and in this ratio and the distance between the two. That's exactly what's happening today. Today, the sun is 400 times further away than the moon. So they both look to us to be exactly the same size. And they happen to be exactly in sight of us. They're aligned perfectly. Therefore, we can't see the sun. You can't see the sun because the moon is completely blocking. It's totality. Complete blockage of the sun. Now, you got to be in the right part of the world, to actually see this happen. Okay, in New York, it's only 70% because we're north of where... I don't know all the mathematics, how all this works. We're two,
right.
We're north of this arch of how it falls, and therefore we only can see it 70%. And there's a fascinating article that's been circulating online, the Yeshiva will lose in Matzah from Talmud Chafetz Chaim. In the year 19, it doesn't even say what the year was, but they figured out the year. They did all the research backwards to every little teeny detail. It's unbelievable. So here also, Amos. You have also, I didn't get Amos. You have also, last page. So at the time, they didn't, the story, there's just a small little entry on an article of the record of the Chafetz Chaim. Doesn't say what year it was, doesn't say anything about it, but we know that it took place in 19, we figured out it took place in the year 1927.
Yeah,
it was 1 year before Rav Naftali Trapp, who was nifted. That was Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law, I think. Was that son-in-law? It was nifted the following year, maybe it was Rashi, I don't remember. And then the Chofetz Chaim died in 1933. It was 6 years before the Chofetz Chaim died. And Radin, on the latitude is, it would have been a 73% blockage. Here in New York, it's approximately today 70%. In Radin, where the eclipse happened, it's very, very similar to New York City relative to where the eclipse took place. It was a 73% blockage. It's not 100%, it's called totality. Totality, that is 100%, that you have to go down to Charlotte, wherever you want to go, everyone today, wherever you go down. You got a whole United States, the whole strip. It's a 70-mile area.
Nashville, Tennessee is the best place.
There you get ready. You got 160 seconds in, you got the whole thing, whatever it is. Okay, wherever it is. So the Chofetz Chaim, the story is, the way it's recorded, Chofetz Chaim, the night before, he gave a clap on the bima and he said, Rabbi Sai, Toiv Leleches El Beis Mishteh, Mileches Mi Beis Evel, Mileches El Beis Mishteh. They said the quote of the Pasuk, Toiv Lelekes Soif Kol Adam. He said his interpretation was, is that the Shemesh in history, in Chazal, in Tanakh, was always worshipped as an Avodah Zarah. It's a Boire. In other words, they viewed the Shemesh as a creator, a Boire. When there is an eclipse, this is a Gilui, that the Shemesh is a Nivra. It's not a Boire. It's only a creation. It's not a creator. That's how the Chofetz Chaim understood the significance of the solar eclipse. It's a gilui, because if the sun is a boire, the sun would never allow itself to be eclipsed by some other creature. How then could the boire allow itself to be eclipsed? So the Chofetz Chaim said, a solar eclipse is significant, that it's teaching the world that there's no such thing as a boire other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And he told the Olam, as a toiv lechas l'beis evel, milechas l'beis mishteh, because the Beis Evel is when you recognize your mortality, you recognize that you're a Nivra, and there's no Nivra in this world that's around forever. Even the sun, the ultimate thing that you would think is a Boire, even that is a Nivra. And he told everyone that it is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and d'oraisa is a mitzvah, a very important mitzvah. Everyone should go tomorrow, wake up tomorrow, and see the solar eclipse. It seems like the daven ki vosikin. We know from our calculations that vosikin was about 4:30 in the morning or 4:45. They daven all ki vosikin at 4:45, and about 6:30, approximately 6:30, was the solar eclipse in Radin. Today it's going to be like 2:00. I think 2:44 in New York, the peak. What?
1:27.
It starts. And when is the peak? I think it peaks at 2:44. 2:40 something. So in Radin, in the year 1927, the peak was approximately at 6:30. And the whole night, it says, they were busy looking for broken pieces of glass.
Yeah.
Broken pieces of glass, and they took candles with oil, and they made darkened glass. Okay, today is a very big deal. All the articles are the sakana, not to look at the sun. And Amazon has been recalled probably millions of glasses, okay, that are fakes. They mamash recall, it's not a joke. And it's the most precious commodity today to buy these $2 glasses would only cost probably 10 cents to make in China. Would cost 10 today, or people would be paying $100. It costs probably, they make these things 10 cents in China, and because there's so much fraud, and there's so much fraud out there, and there's so many glasses that are not been certified as being safe for your eyes. So today, to buy literally a glass that would normally cost you 10 cents, today people are going to are paying $100 to get a hold, because there's a massive, massive shortage of glasses to use to watch the solar eclipse.
Glasses through the window, those boxes.
not so safe. It's not so safe. You shouldn't take any risks. They don't even realize it's dangerous. You shouldn't take any risks. Don't take any risks. If you don't have the glasses, don't play games. It's not worth it. But watch it on YouTube later. Okay, so therefore. So this is what happened to Tom Chavetz Chaim. He told everyone you have to do it, and the next morning they all got early. They went out, and everyone had glass. They charred a chreis. Who knows what this was all about? This broken piece of glass. They made it black with oil, and they burned candles to make it black. And they gave the Chavetz Chaim a beautiful. They gave a nice, beautiful glass, and he looked, and he told the oilam, it's very important. They revised it. Rav Naftali Trop, who was the Rashiv in Radin. He was very, very excited. It's it was a big, big event. It's Chaval today. It's interesting that I myself feel very deprived because I didn't really appreciate this until yesterday. I don't give a shit to go over it. And yesterday I started preparing just a little bit. Wow, there's so much material, and it's not going to happen for the next 24 until the year 2024. And then I had to go away.
8 years.
Okay. But even when you see it's not a total eclipse, it's very rare. Like what was happening now is a very, very, whatever it is, it's a very rare event. And it's interesting that no one is coming out in full force. Okay, by Birchas Hachama, Klal Yisrael went out Erev Pesach a couple of years ago. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. The whole Klal Yisrael went out in full force. It was a very beautiful event. Birchas Hachama, Erev Pesach a couple of years ago. And unfortunately, it's not much of an event. It is here and there. You hear people talk about it. Rabbanim are giving shiur about it. I did all went online. There's a lot of stuff, but it's not like it was Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, a couple of years ago, was a much of an event. The reason is very simple. There's nothing to do. You don't make a bracha. Halacha l'maisa, you do not make a bracha on a solar eclipse. You don't make a bracha on a lunar eclipse either. You only make a bracha on Birchas Hachama, make a bracha on Samil. That's why it probably became much more of a bigger inyan. However, the Gedolei Yisrael say, even if you don't make a bracha of Yisid, you should say Vayevarech David in davening. Vayevarech David, there you say, you talk about the Shemesh, and you talk about the sun, Kol Tzva HaShemayim. So Vayevarech David is something that you should say. You can say it's psukim in Divrei Hayomim. It mentions the circuit of the sun, and therefore it's something that is appropriate to say today. If you want to go outside and you have your glasses, or if you don't have your glasses, just don't look at it. You can say when you acknowledge the solar eclipse to recite, take out the Siddur Vayevarech David, and to recite Baruch Nafshi. Okay, that you say on Rosh Chodesh, because there it makes mention of the sun, or Mizmor Yutes, you say on Shabbos, Psuki de Zimra also makes mention of the Shemesh and the Yoreach. Okay, so these are, there is no bracha, and the reason why there is no bracha is the Gemara does not mention the bracha. Others want to say is because since the Gemara says that it's a bad simon, for who? Not for us. It's a bad simon for the Umay Sa'olam. A lunar eclipse is a bad omen for Klal Yisrael, which is subject to interpretation, because you can't say something's a bad omen when it's predictable. When it's a mathematical formula and you can tell me exactly when it's going to happen. And by the way, when are going to be the next two full lunar eclipses? Tu B'Shvat. Okay, it could only happen a lunar eclipse in the middle of the month. When is one next year and the year after? 2018, 2019, on Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, there will be in New York there's going to be a big lunar eclipse on the next 2 years on Tu B'Shvat. So that is supposedly called a bad omen. What that means, we don't really know. But when the Shemesh is called Likui, it's smitten, it's a bad omen for the Umay Sa'olam. It's not a bad omen for Klal Yisrael. Why don't we make a bracha? It's a very rare astronomical event. I'm just thinking it's very partial why you don't make a bracha. It's because bin fol oivecha al tismach. Klal Yisrael is not in the business of taking delight in witnessing the downfall of our enemies. We wish for their downfall, we pray for their downfall, but when it actually happens, we don't take delight in happening. That's the mitzvah. Okay, that's how it is. We mispal, they should be destroyed. But you don't rejoice. You don't make a shechianu on the time and when, or oisemaisebereishis, to take delight in their defeat, in their downfall. So the mele, being that it's a bad sign for the Umay Yisrael, because the Umay Yisraelim are compared to the sun, and we are compared to the moon. So when the moon is smitten, when you can't see the moon, when it's the middle of the month, you can't see the moon. That's not good for us. When the sun is bimilua and the sun is smitten, that's a simon for the gumas olam, and you can make a bracha. It's a bad sign for them. You don't make a bracha. Okay, let's run through a long. I'll tell you a lot of short little ideas. Next idea, Einstein. Einstein, the theory of relativity. I have no idea what this is about. All I know is I read an amazing article in Ami magazine this past Shabbos. Ami magazine, they had this phenomenal article about the history of this Einstein and the theory of relativity. They have all these rabbanim. There's a Kapichnis Chassid. He's one of the biggest experts in Eretz Yisrael. I don't even know where. In Einstein's theory of relativity. It's very, very fascinating, and they write up the whole thing. It's very technical. It's way over my head. It's extremely detailed. And basically, how they go to the whole history of how did Einstein prove his theory of relativity. Today, with technology, it would be pretty easy. Today, we have so much technology. We have astronauts, and we have Hubble spacecraft, and we have technology that is not to be believed, that can very quickly prove that Einstein is correct. But going back in the years, what is it, 1919, this technology did not exist. It was just a theory. And who says he's right? Now, what is this theory all about? I don't even know. Light bends. Basically,
the mass
light, it bends. There's the gravity. It has to do with gravity and light and time. Time does not travel the same speed everywhere. And light is not, light is bends. And gravity is not a natural phenomenon. Gravity is a product of the curvature. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just saying words which to me don't mean anything because it's all. I never understood this even in the good old days when I'm in college and take courses. I never understood anything. It's all just memorized words, whatever it means. But to prove this, those people who understand what it was all about, when they answered, and they said very nice, a very nice chiddush. Who says you're right? How do they prove he was right? It was proven only, it could only be proven through solar eclipses. When there was a solar eclipse is a time when you can see the stars during the day. It's an amazing idea. When there's a solar eclipse, think about it, when there's a solar eclipse, the sun's rays are significantly diminished, if not completely diminished, and you can see the stars during the day. So the sun is there, the sun is out there at the same time as the stars. You can't go look at the stars during the day because the stars are blinded by the sun. And at night, there is no sun. So you're looking at the stars, but it's not relative to the sun. You need to be able to look at the stars relative to the sun. I'm just telling you words. The only way you can do this is during a solar eclipse. Because during a solar eclipse, you have the sun and the stars together, and you can see them. And you can take photographs, and you can make measurements. So Einstein was able to prove his theory of relativity only through a sequence of solar eclipses. He chased after solar eclipses all over the world over a series of years, and there was a lot of hashkacha. It's an amazing article because his original theory of relativity was wrong. The calculations were way, way off. They were off, way off. And it was hashkacha pratis, is that the machinery they used to do the calculations, to make the photographs during the solar eclipse, did not work. If the machinery had worked the first time they had the solar eclipse, Einstein would have been proven a fool. And his career would have been over, and he probably would have tried again, and it would have been all over. It was an incredible hashkacha, maybe later on, maybe centuries, maybe, I don't know when it would have, but it's only because the machinery did not work, so they were unable to prove anything. He was able to study it more, and then he came to the realization that his calculations were way off. And then he revised it to the correct calculations, and then the next time around, when they did all of the experiments, during the next solar eclipse, he was on the mark. And he got enormous prestige, but there were still skeptics who didn't believe because they thought the machinery was fixed and this and that, so they did a nochemal, the next solar eclipse, and then that was beyond the shadow of a doubt, okay, pun intended, then it was proven that he was correct. So why am I telling you all this? Is because Einstein was Jewish, and they make this point in the article, he was Jewish, and we have Eidus Ne'emana, he said there's a Borei Olam, right. There's no doubt about it. He wasn't at all religious, and he wasn't all religious, and it doesn't. And there are other issues with his ethical behavior. That's not for us to judge. But he was a Jew. He was a Yid. He was a Jew, and the world knows about this. The world, everyone took note that he's Jewish, And it says in the pasuk, "Ki hi chokhmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'anim, asher yomu mi kagoy am chokhm v'novon hagoy hagoy l'hazeh." And what does Chazal say? Soy to Ibor. This is the secret of intercalating months, years. Basically, what it means is to understand the cheshbonos of the heavenly spheres. This is beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's no person who brought out that fulfillment of the pasuk of ki hi chokhmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'anim in modern history, and maybe in world history, like Einstein. Einstein, and he's Jewish. He's mushrush and is only in the Har Sinai. And there's never been a person that has opened up the world to recognize the genius of a human being, which all comes from Das Torah, all comes from Klal Yisrael. You can't deny what I'm telling you is correct. And how did all of this come about? You also cannot deny that an event like today is all came about, only can be proven, the whole Chochmah was through a solar eclipse. A solar eclipse. So mitzad echad, it's a bad sign for the Umos HaOlam, but mitzad sheni, it's a bad sign for the Umos HaOlam, because that they recognize that Klal Yisrael is dominant. Klal Yisrael, to elaborate upon that point, I want to point out the significance of having a solar eclipse on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Okay, you can have a solar eclipse every Erev Rosh Chodesh. Every solar eclipse happens either on Rosh Chodesh or Erev Rosh Chodesh, the Moilid. Not the Moilid they announce in Shul. The Moilid they announce in Shul is way off. It's off by 16 hours. It's 16 hours off. They announce in Shul in Yerushalayim. Don't even Yerushalayim, the Moilid is way off. It's not, it's based upon other calculations. Chazal's calculations were which are approximations, because Chazal wanted it to be for the average person, does not need to go down to the nitty gritty. But these, what we're dealing with over here today, the solar eclipse, this is based on the real calculations, which is off. We are off by approximately, I think, 16 hours. When they announced in Moilad and Shul, at 16 hours off from the solar eclipse that's happening today. And Yerushalayim, I mean the same time Yerushalayim, whatever it is, how could that possibly be? Because Chazal are using approximations, and we're dealing over here with exact numbers. Now, today is Erev, a solar eclipse can happen every single Erev Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Chodesh, depending on when the real Moilid is. So when is the next time a solar eclipse will happen on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul? I don't know. I don't know if it'll ever happen again, before Mashiach. It's not likely. I don't know. The next time is going to be, it's going to be in April. The next time is going to be, what, in 8 years? In April, something like that? Ever. Now, what's this in the beginning? This is Kedai, you come today just for this. This is very Kedai. In Parashas Ekev, in Perek Tes, today is an unbelievable day. There's no day like today. Today you should go out dancing in the streets. You should go out, I don't know, stay at the hill the whole day. You should do something very special today, because I'm telling you now, is Noyla V'Oyim. What the significance of today is, one day in a lifetime, what's happening today. What is today? Erev Rosh Chodesh. What does Rashi say in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Ches? Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Ches. Oh no, maybe it's not Perek Tes. Yeah, it's Eger. That's got to be Eger. Yeah, here it's Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Ches. Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'esnapal, l'fnei Hashem kori shayna, arbo im yom v'arbo im layla. I prayed before Hashem like originally, 40 days, 40 nights. Lechem lechalti ma'am loshu sisi al kol chatasam asher chatasem la'asoy sara b'enei Hashem la'achisoy. Rashi says on this pasuk, I fell before Hashem. I read you the wrong pasuk. No, I did not read you the wrong pasuk. I read you the right pasuk. See that? You made a mistake. I read you the right pasuk. Okay, Rashi here says, Moshe went to Shemayim three times. The first time to the first luchas. The second time to be mispalo to Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael. The third time to prepare for the second Luchas. What happened on the 29th day of Av? Today is the 29th day of Av. Today is the anniversary of the last day of the second set of 40 days. Moshe brought down the Luchas on Shavasa B'Tamuz. He smashed the Luchas. Asher Shibarta. He went back up to Shemayim on the 18th day of Tammuz, and he came down on the 29th day of Av. And Rashi says, "Bo bayom." I want to go back in Rashi. Shenemar v'yata el el Hashem ulay chapa ba'osa aliyah nisakafti arboim yoim nimtzu kolim b'chof tes ve'av. On the 29th day of Av, today hayoim shuhu ola b'yud ches b'tammuz. because it was 40 days from the day that he went up. Bo bayoim, on that day, Nisratzeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael. Hashem found Rotzayim. Hashem was Nisratzeh. Today is the most amazing day of Eis Rotzayim. It's an Eis Rotzayim. That's why even people who do not normally daven Yom Kippur Katan the whole year, many people are makbut to daven Yom Kippur Katan Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Because Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul is Chof Tes Av. Chof Tes Av is the day where it says, Beferish in the Pasuk, Rashi explains, Bo Bayoim Nisratze HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael. Today is a Zman, it's an Eis Rotzayim. And what else is happening today? Once in a billion years, literally, what's happening today? On Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, there's a full solar eclipse. Not a partial solar eclipse. A full solar eclipse happening in this country, right smack down the center of this country. And throughout the whole world, in fact. Solar eclipse. Solar eclipse. And what is the solar eclipse? The Gemara Beferish Gemara Masechta Sotah Chof Tes on the base. Likui HaShemesh, it's a bad sign for the Umay Sa'ilam. So there are days in the year where it's not good for the Goyim. But just because it's not good for the Goyim, doesn't mean it's good for the Jews. And there are days in the year where it's good for the Jews. But just because it's good for the Jews, doesn't mean it's bad for the Goyim. When do you ever have a day that's good for the Jews and it's bad for the Goyim? Show me, I challenge you, find me one such day in your life. One such day in your life where it's a yom that's nisratze boy yom nisratze li Yisrael, and the Gemara says beferish when there's a likui hashemesh, this is a bad omen. It's a simin ra leumay soilon for the goyishu world. Where do you have that pasuk that puts that in perspective? In the time in Parashas Kisisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu says v'niflinu ani v'amcha, Moshe says we want to be different. We should be separate. Klal Yisrael should stand out. There should be a marked difference. V'hifla, Rashi calls the pasuk, V'hifla Hashem, V'machane Yisrael, V'machane Mitzrayim. There should be a difference, a noticeable difference between Klal Yisrael and the Umay Yisrael. V'niflinu ani v'yamecha. Abayisa, you know what today is? There's never been a day in the history of the world, I don't know, I can't say, I don't know the whole calculations, when there's a full solar eclipse of Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. They've been waiting for this since Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel for this day. V'niflinu ani v'amcha. You know what we have here today in front of us? It's Tzhafle v'fela. Goy b'yom nisratze l'Yisrael, on the day where it's a simin ra for the Umos Ha'olam. Mashiach's on its way. This is the tekufa, it's the ushering in a whole new era for Klal Yisrael. So we have to appreciate that. Daven and Mincha, you have to daven the long Shemoneh Esrei, the Chaperayim, the Neflinu Ani V'Amcha. It's unbelievable what's going on this day. Okay, now let me just tell you some other quick ideas about and now this I found very interesting, very quick. What's the difference between the sun and the moon? So I didn't know this. The sun gives art. His sun is the greatest mashpia. What does the moon do? The moon doesn't do the right. The moon, I don't realize this, the moon is the force of gravity on this world. It redistributes. They explain this in the Ami magazine article. It's an unbelievable article. It redistributes the arc. The moon, the gravity, the moon. The moon causes the heat of this world to be redistributed. When the moon, we know when the middle of the month is high tide. The waters rise. Why are the waters rising? So I don't know how all the science works, but it has to do with heat. It has to do with gravity. The force of gravity of the moon somehow causes there to be a shake-up. The sun burns up this world. It sends a ton of heat into this world. It scorches the world. The moon has the koyach. It's much more creative. You know, I was the moon, big deal, the moon, no moon. Moon, who needs the moon? What does it do for us anyway? You don't realize, if not for the moon, there's nothing. The sun gives the heat, but the sun would destroy the world. The moon takes that heat and redistributes it in the most perfect, pleasant way. The sun represents, for example, in traditional homes, this is before modern times, you know, it was the husband who went out to work and made the money, the breadwinner. What does he do, the husband? He comes home, cash. And what does he do with the cash? He gives to his wife. And what does she do? She buys the food, she takes the money, and she turns the money, she redistributes the wealth, the money, into the needs of what is necessary in the home. The husband is the Shemesh. He's the Groise Mashpia. He's Mashpia upon the Bnei Bayis. But the Isha is the Levana. Okay, the woman's Nida cycle. There's many Mamari Chazal. Why is Isha called the Levana? Because the Isha is the one that takes the Shefa of her husband, and she redistributes it to the Bayis, to the children, to the husband. Just like in the Bria, the Shemesh is the Mashpia, and the Levana is the redistributor of the wealth. Okay? That's really what the Levana is. So what Bemis is happening when you have a solar eclipse? Another very good sin for Klal Yisrael. It's a reenactment of the Birchois Yitzchak. The Birchois Yitzchak, who the Mashpia was Yitzchak. Who's getting the Bracha? Who's getting the Bracha? Esav, the Umay Sa'olam is getting the bracha. The Shemesh, the Yitzchak is the Mashpia, he's the Ish. What happened with Rivka? No. You don't know what you're doing. You want to be Mashpia? I'm going to decide. You can be, you'll be the Mashpia. That's right. You give the brachas. But I'm Rivka. I decide who gets the brachas. You give the brachas. Rivka is the one who redistributes the brachas. Who redistributes the brachas. What is a solar eclipse? It's where the Levana gets in the way. The Levana says to the Shemesh, Gesundheit, you give, that's right, you give. I'm going to go and get in the way and decide and basically show you who's in charge here, who is the pants in this house. So in other words, the Levana here is coming to interfere with the Shemesh. Where do we have the Chazal, the Levana interfering with the Shemesh? Yitzchak or Rivka. Where Rivka says to Yitzchak, Klal Yisrael, they are the ones who deserve the bracha, not the Umay Sa'ilam. Mela, it's a reenactment of the Birchas Yitzchak happening all over again. Ki bi Yitzchak yikar l'chazara. Which Yitzchak? Lezera Yaakov. This is one of the major themes of Rosh Hashanah. You blow the shofar. It's Lezera Yaakov. Klal Yisrael. They're the ones who are the recipients of the bracha having erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. This is a very good sign for Klal Yisrael. Another good sign I want to suggest is that Daf Yomi, yesterday and the day before, Daf Yomi talks about, is a Kohen allowed to look, is Nashna Yalacha Lamaisa, very big, when it becomes dark in the middle of the day, so how does that affect Halacha? Is a Kohen allowed to look at a Nega? Is a Kohen allowed today to look at a Nega? You go down to Church, or we go down to, what do you say, Tennessee, where's the place to go? Wherever the place, the solar eclipse. Is a coin? No, l'chor not. L'cholmare einehakon. The Gemara says you have to look at the nega. Daylight. When in the middle of the day, not early in the morning, not late at night. Mamish, middle of the day. In the middle of the day today, it's dark in these places. Cloudy day, but the home. No, but here in the mitzias, there's no shemesh. It's much more profound. There's no shemesh. There's a kina on Tisha B'Av where it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he looks at mankind. And Hashem is like the Kohen. And Hashem looks at our Negoyim. We're all Molechet. Today is a day where it's like there's no Satan today. There's no Satan. The Satan is out of business today. Hashem can't look at our defects today. Because today there's no Shemesh. There's no today. So today it's like we're Mufka. It's a symptom. We're Mufka from the din of L'chol Mari. A Chosan, you don't look at the Negoyim, the Shiva Simei HaMishteh. Right? They are such a, so Mamela, he can go dance all he wants. Right? It's a very big yontif. For the world, for Klal Yisrael today, it's a gevaldig day because Hashem can't look at our negoyim. Hashem can't judge us today. This is the daf yomi, the mamish hashkacha prat. This is yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf is, you cannot be goymer, you cannot be maschil, the din, belayla. I don't know halacha l'maisa. They talk something like this. Halacha l'maisa, can a bezdin bisman hazeh dinei nefashos begin to deliberate today on August 21st, when there's a likui hashemesh, it says in the pasuk b'yoyim by day. They have to deliver by day, and the Gemara compares to the goyim. Maybe I don't know what the halacha is, but certainly there's an inyan where there's no din. The batei dinim are shut down today. There's no din because today is a day that's mufka from din. So we have over here a lot of inyanim that in Chazal say it's a bad sifin for the, but it doesn't say anywhere that it's a bad sifin for us. And Mimela Adrabu, today is a very good day for us, Yamirutza. We have to take advantage of all of the of what this means. Is the Dvar Ma'am de Bumer Shal Olam. And it should be taka for us a day that brings forth Yeshuais Unachamois the Klal Yisrael the Klal of the Prat. Have a wonderful day.
Yes, Adar, yes, Allah, yes, Allah, which made a good job, right?